I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories.
On this episode of The Dad Experience, we're continuing with part two of our episode, Reinventing Yourself as a Dad, with Rob Roseman. On this episode, we continue our conversation about being a stay-at-home dad and talk to Rob about his exciting app, Kickstart Reading, for kids. Check that out, along with our favorite segment, Things We Can't Wait to Share Through Our Children's Eyes. So join us, won't you, on this episode of
The Dad Experience.
You know, that's kind of like your early life with kids and in early life. So we mentioned at the top of the show as well that you're a stay-at-home dad, and you kind of transitioned from, you know, doing the poker thing and being in Vegas with the family, and then you guys moved. You mentioned to us that you moved, and then you became a stay-at-home dad. How did that transition work, and kind of how did that whole thing transpire?
Yeah, it's a good question. We're almost a year into, we moved to Atlanta. My wife got a great opportunity to move up in her job, and they said, okay, but it's in Atlanta. So we thought, we're never moving. We've got a great setup in Vegas. And 48 hours later, we were looking for houses in Atlanta. So the one thing is, in Georgia, there is no poker. So I kind of knew that if I was moving here, I was kind of going to be giving up poker, which a big part of me was ready to. I'd played 10 years, but without a fallback, it was going to be, I'm going to be at home more with the kids, which I was already doing a lot of, but it was a transition for sure. It's very challenging. It has, like, you know, given me the most respect for stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads, just any parents in general, because it is a lot to, you know, be around your kids all day. And I've learned a ton. I've gotten a lot better at it, but it was a big transition for me, like you said, from Vegas poker player to stay-at-home dad. It's almost like a fish out of water, like that movie. What was it? My Blue Heaven. You remember that movie with Steve Martin?
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, I feel like that sometimes when I got like a baby on my, you know, baby carrier I'm walking around with, like.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. So what was the best thing you think about transitioning from, you know, the full-time job as a poker player to being the stay-at-home dad?
Yeah, it is great to just be able to be with your kids, be at their practices for sports, just be with them when they wake up, put them to bed, just a lot of things that you kind of take for granted that a lot of people can't do because they're getting home from work late and stuff. So it's good. It's a challenge, and you kind of have to learn to carve out time for yourself and then also for you and your wife. Like, those kind of things can get, you know, pushed to the side, but yeah, I've really embraced it. And there were times where you know, when you resist things, especially in parenting, I feel like it makes it harder. And it took me maybe a few months to like fully realize that. So once I started kind of accepting, you know, it more, I think it worked out better for all of us, and I am starting to embrace it a lot more.
Right. And you kind of mentioned this a little bit a few times with being on all the time and being there, you know, you don't have a break really, but what have you found to be the most challenging? Is it that transition of not being able to play poker anymore, or is it something else? What have you found to be the most difficult thing about being a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah. So I think it's like, kind of, you know, a lot of people identify their job, you know, it's their identity in a lot of ways. Obviously, it's parent, husband, wife, and your job is a big part of it. So that was just like kind of jumping off a cliff was exciting, and I knew it would eventually turn into something great. But at the time, it's a little scary, and you're kind of on shaky ground. So that took some time to get used to. And, you know, some of the, I guess, things that dads and parents can complain about, you know, I actually would never complain about things like changing a diaper. To me, those things are easy and are actually like, that's one thing where, like, especially as a dad, I'm like, oh, that's one thing I can fix and knock out. But, you know, the whining when you're around that a lot from the kids, that can start to wear on you. So you have to learn kind of techniques to try and handle it the best you can.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that we, a lot of times, and we've talked about it on this podcast before, a lot of people assume that when a dad is a stay-at-home dad, and I'm sure you've probably gotten this before, is like, oh, you're a stay-at-home dad. Oh, I would give anything to be a stay-at-home dad and not go to work. And, you know, I think people think that it's just like vacation, which we all know not.
There's tons of stuff to do at home, man.
Right. So what kind of reactions do you get from your family or peers or, you know, folks that you're close to or your circle that you're close to about being a stay-at-home?
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, you do get a lot of people that say that, I would love that. And then you get a lot of people that would say, oh, I could never do that. And they both have a lot of truth to them because there are moments where I could never do that. And also it is great. So I think you kind of just have to have confidence in what you're doing and realize that, you know, especially as you get older, these are kind of the things you're going to look back at and, you know, think are fantastic that you could spend this much time with your kids when they're young and really, really mold them. So I am trying to look at it that way. And, you know, now that my kids are going to school, it does take a lot of the load off. So it's a little easier and I'm able to, you know, work on my own projects and things, but yeah, it does take
making sure the house is clean and all that.
Yeah, that's the easy part. It's like those little things where like only a 4-year-old can like, you know, push your buttons where you're just like, like everybody, and we have 3 now. Everybody's like, oh, you're outnumbered now. That's the hard part. Like it's like a basketball game or something. I'm like, it's not, if this was basketball, I could crush these kids 3-on-1. It's like, but somehow like a 4-year-old can like whine and negotiate his way to my insanity. So it's like, you have your moment where you're just like, how are they doing this to me? Right. But
right. No, right. And I think it's partly the unexpected. I mean, with some of those things, you can kind of expect what the other person's going to do, especially if you're interacting with adults in a job or whatever. But when you're working with kids or young kids, especially, it's like, you never know what to expect. So today you could have had, you know, one meltdown that you just talked it out and it was fine. But tomorrow it could be you close the bathroom door and they wanted to get in there. And then that meltdown lasts forever. I think it's that unexpected sometimes that it can go from 0 to 100 and it can last 24 hours or it can last 5 minutes.
It is. You have to go through it. And you guys, it's what I like about your podcast. You guys keep it real. You're like, I heard you talking about like an airplane moment and I'm like, oh, we totally had that. And I would have never understood that a few years ago. Yeah.
Our airplane experience was definitely a good one coming back from our trip this summer. So, yeah, that was there is, and everybody's been there. And that's the thing, like I had, you know, I have to get over as a dad sometimes that like, I'm so self-conscious about, oh my God, my kids are doing this in a public place. And I think as I have my kids and they're getting older and I'm growing with them as a dad, that you start to go, you know what? They're kids, and 90% of this world or 80% of this world, whatever, I don't know the percentage, so somebody might want to check me on that, but you know, they have had an experience with kids or you're raising kids or, you know, whatever it has to be. So people are more understanding than I think. And of course there are people that aren't, but you know, the majority of people are pretty understanding.
The people that aren't understanding are bad. Those are bad people.
And you know what I've learned is I think they're actually not even judging or thinking about us. We just probably think they are. We're too busy to care. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we're gonna take a short break, but when we return from that break, we're gonna have our favorite segment, Things You Can't Wait to See through our Children's Eyes. We're gonna talk a little bit about an app that Rob has, and I also want him to think about a question that I have for him. Out of the 3 things that he's kind of had his nerves tested on, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, or 4 actually, working in Chicago on the Mercantile, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, being a professional poker player, or a dad. Out of those 4 things, what do you think was the most challenging? So we'll get that when we get back from the break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents on Demand Network. You can get that app. Our podcast is on there along with many different other parenting podcasts that if you like the Dad Experience, I'm sure you're going to love it. And stick around to the end of the show because there's going to be another podcast similar to the Dad Experience that you're going to hear about and I'm sure you're going to like. So listen to that and download the Parents on Demand podcast app. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We are here with Rob, poker player, dad, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Rosie O'Donnell, a guest. He's just an all around. He's done a lot. And before the break, we asked him a question about the out of the four things he's done, working in Chicago on the Mercantile, working, being a professional poker player, being on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, or being a dad. Out of those four things, Rob, which one have you found to be the most challenging or the most nerve-wracking?
That's a great question. And, you know, I think I've thought about it a lot lately, and it's definitely being a dad. I think it's like you said before, you never know what to expect, and you're so invested in it, like personally, that, you know, you care so hard. You care so much. So it's just like, it definitely is the most challenging. It's the most rewarding. And I think, yeah, of all the other things, especially being a little older and wiser, I think it's the greatest thing I've ever done, but also the hardest thing I've ever done. So I'd say that it makes playing professional poker in Las Vegas, trading on a floor, you know, all these other things like seem laughably easy in context.
Rob, what do you think, Rob? I don't know if Adam, did you ask this already? Did you ask Rob? Are there any skills that you learned on the Mercantile or in the poker?
Not the mercantile. We talked about poker, but we didn't talk about the Mercantile. That's a good question.
Were any of those skills transferable to being a dad?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is kind of just, you know, knowing yourself, being able to pick yourself up from defeat, which is going to happen often as a dad, as a trader, as a poker player. I think, you know, dealing with different kind of personalities, which even your kids, you know, our kids, they all have different personalities. So like mm-hmm. being able to just be flexible and kind of, I think listening is a really good skill that I keep trying to work on, you know, where if you let somebody, especially your kids, just, you know, talk themselves out, then, you know, you kind of have the upper hand and you're giving them a little bit more space to express themselves. So yeah, all kinds of these skills, which is funny. I was working with, you know, grown men playing poker and trading and all these things, and they're perfectly applicable to a 6'4" and a 1-year-old. So,
you know, Mike made me think of another thing that I'm curious about. So, I'm sure you got good at figuring out people's tells or figuring out, you know, all the little intricacies of poker playing. Did that transfer over for you with your kids? Or have you been able to figure out those tells? I know we can figure out a lot of times when our kids are lying, but or telling a fib, let's say. But did any of that stuff help you when being a dad?
For sure. You know, you take it for granted, but there's just things where, like in poker, people will oftentimes do the opposite of, you know, what they're trying to show you. So if they have a really strong hand, they might try to look away and act all bashful. And that's when, you know, a red flags go up in my head. And you see the same kind of stuff with your kid, you know, like whether it's, you know, not telling a lie, but just their behavior, and also just kind of being quiet and letting them, you know, letting them talk. So
letting them kind of open up and unfold.
Yeah. The kids are tricky though. They've got reverse tells, all these kind of things they can pull on you. It's amazing.
It is. Their repertoire is, it gets built so fast. It's like, what are you doing, man? You're 4. What are you doing lying? I just saw you do that. You stole that cookie, man. Nope, I didn't do it.
Yeah. I don't even like
the dog, or is the cat, or is my brother, whatever. You're a liar. And Mike, you did that.
Does yours have the negotiation skills of like, you know, our president?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, how are you doing this to me? It's like, right. So I
cried. Well, you get roped in. Rob, you get roped in. Then you're like, wait, you finally, it finally dawns on you that you're getting played. And you're like, whoa, you pump the brakes. What is going on? I'm not wheeling and dealing. We're doing this because I said so.
Yeah.
We're not backpedaling on this.
I don't know. I feel like we're a new generation too. I mean, I know, you know, my parents were very involved. My dad was very involved, but I feel like we are also kind of like, you know, one of the first generations to be as involved as dads. And it's like a lot of these things, you know, a lot of guys probably haven't gone through, and, you know, I'm learning as I go too. But yeah, when a 4-year-old can school you, it's just like, what just happened there?
Yeah. What?
4 year old. I think
I just lose. Got Did I win?
Negotiation skills. I don't understand. I mean, two. She's at two, and she's already figuring that out. It's like crazy. I don't know where they're learning it, but then she tries. She doesn't win as much, you know, at that age. But I'm sure it's just going to get more interesting as they get older.
You just got to learn the tricks to play back at them. Like tonight at dinner, it was like, do you want to eat 6 pieces of green beans or 4, you know, and I was going to take 3, but he goes with 4 and then I win. So it's just like constantly giving them choices and stuff. So I actually learned from them some of their moves. Yeah.
Yeah. And in choices is a great thing that I've learned, you know, too, even in as being an educator. I mean, it's much better. I found with my kids going, you're going to do this because you have to do it. And you go, well, you got this assignment you got to do. You can do this assignment or you can do this other alternate assignment. And a lot of times you get the best product out of them because they're getting a choice to do what they want to do for out of the two. So it's definitely a good way to go.
Putting the ball in their court for control wise, you're gonna get better results. Well,
this is a reason for sure why stuff like, I mean, your podcast is awesome, and I just discovered it a couple of weeks ago because like there isn't a lot of stuff like this out there for dads. And like I was saying before, I think dads are more involved than they've ever been, but there isn't really maybe the same platform or community where guys can, you know, learn some of these things or even hear people empathize with their struggles. You know, it's like, just hearing other people say, oh, I deal with that too. It's like a relief to hear. And it makes you feel like you're doing stuff right or you're not alone. So, I appreciate you guys putting this stuff out there.
Well, I like it because you know what, Adam and I, we're not perfect people. Rob, you're not perfect guy. No. I don't know you, but I know you're not perfect. And it's okay to screw things up when you're a dad. I mean, it's okay. If you lose your temper, it happens. Just
thank you, Mike. Move I needed on. To hear that tonight, especially. So.
It's okay. Nah. I lose my stuff all the time, and it's just like you got to pump the brakes, step back, realize this is their first time for a lot of times. Like their experience as a kid, whatever the scenario is, it's most likely their first time, and it's okay for them to screw up, and it's okay for you to, you know, you to get irritated. Yeah. But if you can just remember that one thing, like this, you know, it's their first time. They're new.
Yeah.
Right.
Give them a break. Just give them just a little extra break. Now, if your kid keeps doing the same crap over and over again, then no. I mean, sometimes you just got to lose your shit.
Yeah.
But.
And, you know, and I'm all about, I think part of the reason, like we have this podcast and we've said the philosophy of it a few times is, you know, there's in education, I've learned not to reinvent the wheel. And a lot of times people like to do that. So it's like, to me, it's like, I'm not going to learn. I don't learn from a book. I don't learn from, you know, somebody lecturing to me. I learn from interacting and having a conversation and saying, oh, wow, that happened to you, man, that happened to me. And then it breaks down a barrier and you bounce ideas, you roundtable, you brainstorm. And that's kind of what we try and do. And I think I think it needs to happen more. I think it needs to happen more. And I think as dads and as males, as dads, we need to be able to break down that barrier too and be able to have those conversations that should be happening because I think it's going to be more beneficial in the long run.
Yeah, just be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your feelings. I mean, be honest with other people. Totally. Don't bullshit other people.
That's true. And as we get older, I mean, there's studies showing like guys don't make, you know, friends as frequently when they get older. I mean, I have a great, you know, group chat with my Lucky Bunch crew down in Miami where we can, you know, let off steam and stuff with each other. But, you know, you do need to find, even if it is like a group text or these podcasts, like places where you can get this kind of, you know, support and just even laughing and venting, all that kind of stuff's really important for dads. And
I think so. I think all our dads are all hard.
I agree.
Yeah. One little trick I did think of, you were asking what I learned from poker and trading is like you were saying, Mike, you're going to get irritated. You're going to blow up. But I think, and I learned this from my wife's excellent at this is like, okay, have your moment where you're just so annoyed because whatever happened, this one's whining. But like, if you can get over that, you know, in 5 minutes instead of 30 minutes, or don't let it ruin your day where you can just snap back. And like, I think that like, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to have those moments. But if you can just, you know, compress that recovery time where you're like back to normal, I think your life will could improve 20% even, which is an amazing return in any market. So
Absolutely. So, you know, you have another, you're a stay-at-home dad, but you've kind of taken your dad and your dad experiences and your life experiences, and you've started a new company or a company. I'm sorry, I didn't do my research. Well, I didn't find out when it was launched, but I know you have a company, and it's called Kickstart Reading. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, it's been really exciting. It has kept me busy. I run an educational company that produces videos to teach kids how to read. I do it with my sister, Lauren. She's my co-founder, and she was kind of the inspiration behind the whole thing, where she pretty much taught, you know, helped teach my almost five-year-old at the time how to read. When I was like at my wit's end, I was like, he's going into kindergarten. And I learned, I didn't have the first, you know, we read books every night, but I didn't have a first clue about how to teach him to read. And, you know, I wanted to be a part of it, but didn't know where to start. And Lauren started sending me these little really short 2-minute videos that showed how she teaches. She was a teacher and has a couple kids that was, you know, one of her kids was reading at like 3.5. So I was like, how do you do that? And she really showed me how. And I was like, these are amazing. Let's show your friends these, because I want to just, I'm biased, but everybody loved them. So we kind of teamed up, and I built the website, and we started a subscription service on the videos. And it's like literally every day gaining traction. So it's been really exciting. And it's been fun to work with family too.
What's the website?
So it's kickstartreading.com, and it's, you know, we make really simple. We make 2-minute videos that teach kids how to read. And the point is to watch them with your kids. And, you know, the real great part about it, I thought, was when I showed my son, like, I had a feeling that I was a part of teaching him to read, like something that I had no idea how to do. And the fact that it was over in 2 minutes was like, oh, we could do that again. And He loved it, and I felt great about it. So we really intentionally keep them short and simple and dad friendly, we like to say. So it's been going great, and I've kind of really dove into the whole, you know, marketing entrepreneur aspect of it. So it's been exciting, and we're 1 year in, and we're doing better than we could have ever imagined. So
That's great. So, you know, you mentioned a little bit that you kind of, it helps you spend time with your kid, but has this experience from starting the company, but also utilizing your product, has that kind of helped you become a better dad, you think? Has that built a better relationship?
Oh, for sure. It's like, even right now, my first grader, Cameron, comes home with homework, and all they want to do when they come home is play video games, which, you know, I'm cool with them doing, but the video games seem mindless compared to Super Mario in our day. But to do it, we say you have to do your homework first. And Brooks, our pre-K, doesn't really have homework. So we say you got to watch 2 Kickstart Reading videos. And I watch them with him. And he like blows my mind that he even knows 60% of these words. So it's like we have this little, it's almost like a small win, where we're just like, in 2 minutes, we're like doing homework together. He's learning. I'm a part of it. Whereas before, it was just like, yeah, we'll read a book at bedtime. So it really has, it's been a great way to bond. And also, like, hearing from other parents that it's working for them, just, it feels good. So it's been awesome.
Nice. And why do you think it's important to have that time where dad is reading with the child, or with mom reading with the child? Why do you think that's important within your Kickstarter reading program there?
Yeah. So reading, I mean, it's something we always did, and we try to make an important part of the evening, because I think it's good to kind of disconnect the technology and screen time. Kickstart Reading, we call it screen time you can feel good about. But I think the big thing is it's really hard to have that kind of one-on-one quiet time where you're reading a book, which is kind of almost like a lost art. And I mean, it's still just as important as it ever was, but a kid would obviously rather play a video game or something. So I think having quiet time with your kid to slow down, read a book, and, you know, and now teaching them to read is like another thing that I had no idea I would even be able to do. And now I'm a part of it. So it's like, you become more invested in their education, and reading is really like, you know, your first intro into education. And I feel like now I'm kind of a part of their, you know, I'm more curious about their homework and how they come home from school, and they're learning, you know, sight words. I didn't know what a sight word was a year ago, but now I understand, like, that's a part of reading that you wouldn't know how to, you know, sound out the word the. But when you're trying to teach a kid that, when you don't know what you're doing, it's like, you know, I don't know, go ask your mom, right? So, yeah, it's been an awesome way to bond with your kid and kind of get involved, find another, like, area to get involved in their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. No, it's really cool. You're doing some awesome things, and it's great work. And tell the listeners too, again, about the website, where they can find stuff and how they can get started on the Kickstart Reading.
Yeah. So it's at kickstartreading.com, and we're on Instagram and Facebook too. And yeah, we're a subscription service. We're, you know, it's $7 a month to subscribe. And actually we created a code just for the Dad Experience. So if you type in Dad Experience, you can get your first month free, and you can give it a shot. And if you want to, if you want to cancel, you know, no questions asked. It's like, you know, give it a try. But it's a great way, and I really encourage dads to, like, to just give it, you know, one or two shots, because it'll surprise you. It's almost like, you know, that feeling. You're not there yet, Adam, but when you're teaching your kid to ride a bike and it's like struggle, 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 and then you one day let go and you see them just like take off, and you're just like, I helped do that, right? It's kind of like that,
right?
When they're reading, they read a sentence and you're like, oh my goodness, I was a part of that. That's amazing. So, and that's, you know, something that's going to be with them for the rest of their life. So it's a really cool thing. And I'm trying to, like, you know, get dads more, you know, moms do a lot of the education in the house, but I'm trying to get dads to try it too, because it really does. It's exciting to be a part of it. And the fact that it's only 2 minutes, it's like hard to make an excuse not to do it.
No.
Right.
No,
I think a lot of people, you know, dads especially, you know, me too, I'm guilty. You know, you get home from work and it's just like, let's just relax, guys. Let's just, we'll watch a video, maybe play a game, you know, we'll build something with Legos, just anything but anything that's really educational, right? You know,
a little more mindless.
Yeah. A little more mindless. So I'm guilty, and I need to
step up my game a little more.
You've got what, 7 and 5, you said?
Yeah. Seven and five.
You can try 2 minutes and then you can go play, you know, whatever, Minecraft together and feel good about it.
Yeah, Minecraft or Fortnite.
You did. That's the thing. It's like, we go play these dumb video games right after they do their videos, and I'm like, I feel better about it, because, you know, I still struggle with a lot of the screen time as a parent and, like, what they're watching. I'm like, oh, this is just, you know, mind-numbingly dumb, but I'm sure we did it too. But I think a lot of parents are struggling with that now. So finding a way to, like, be a part of their screen time and, you know, do something of value. So then even if it is, you're going to go eat your junk food after, you can feel a little better that, like, okay, we had our vegetables, we did something, now go watch cat videos or whatever you're going to do.
No, and I heard something interesting the other day too. I don't know who it was Gary Vaynerchuk or whatever, whoever said it, but it's embracing the technology and the cell phone too. There has to be a balance, and we have to watch the screen time, and we have to regulate things, but also not embracing it and saying this is a part of what's happening, and this is how we're going to be a society, and this is how we're going to do business, and this is how we're going to learn how to communicate globally. To say that we're going to totally take it out and never ever have them on it in our home is also unrealistic too, I think, too, because our kids are never going to go through life and not do that, whereas I think we're that generation where we've had both, so we can do both. But I don't know that going forward, is that going to happen, and is it possible with a culture shift? I don't know, and I don't know the answer. So I think it's
well, you're a teacher, Adam. How do you see it affecting? How old are the kids you teach? To the high school?
I'm at high school level, and I can tell you, you know, early on when cell phones were first starting to become more popular, and people were getting basically computers in their pocket when the first smartphones were coming out, like kind of when the iPhone first started hitting, and all the Androids started hitting. You know, you'd have them, but they weren't as readily there. So cell phone use was like pretty much a, you know. At first they were, they're not in school, and then it became, okay, you can have them in school, but they gotta be locked in your locker. And then it started transferring where it's like, okay, this is something we've got to embrace, because everything's being made. Even I don't use my laptop much other than outside of my office at school, or if I'm recording the podcast. 90% of my work, even I'd say 90% of the podcast work, other than editing and recording, is done through my phone. So the stuff that I'm doing, like I just set up my Google Classrooms for my kids. So they submit their work to me online. So not embracing it and saying you can't have it, but by the way, turning your assignment in to me is tough. You know, the way I handle it is this. When I tell my kids, I don't stand in front of them and lecture very often. You know, obviously in band, I'm conducting music, so that's a little bit different situation. But they use their phone to tune, or they use their phone to record and listen to themselves back, or we do it and we do it as a class. But as far as like just another class where it might be just something they're working on, writing music or whatever, I just ask them, if I'm teaching you the idea of what's going on, please give me the respect, because you won't see me texting away or typing on my phone, looking at my screen, talking to them. I won't do that. As soon as I'm done, you can leave it on your desk. And if you feel the need to do something, go for it. Try and manage your time, but you still got to turn in the project at the end. But you can use your phone for whatever you need it for, the project, or if you just need it there because it's that security. I think it's embracing it. And I think if we don't do that, I think we're going to lose some of the kids that are going to be successful. Some of those creative kids that can design apps, or some of those kids, because they're told you can't. So they don't think that that's a possibility for them. They might not think that Kickstart reading could be a possible, you know, a business for them to start someday, something like that, because they were never told that they can do that. You know what I mean? So I think finding a balance and still finding a way to interact with other humans and knowing when it's appropriate and knowing when it's not. I think that's what the shift has to be. And for me, my opinion in culture is teaching when it's appropriate and when it's not. And I'm going to tell you this, my wife's going to listen to this episode. And she goes, you don't do this yourself. And I don't. I'm really bad about managing it all the time. But I think teaching all of us how to manage it better and be more mindful of our human interaction and when to use it and how to use it versus always using it. I don't know if that makes sense, or if totally. I just talked a circle.
And you nailed it. I mean, that's part of the struggle, is we're kind of hypocritical about it because we're always on ours. So it's like
exactly
contradictory to tell you know, my kids, turn that off. What are you watching? So I think it is, like you said, maybe talking about it. I just heard like a great TED talk the other day where she was saying, it's like, oh, actually ask your kids what they're watching and don't just mindlessly hand them the iPad. It's like, just be a right. part of it a little. And that'll at least, you know, last.
You know, I found with our kids too, like at night when our oldest is almost two, and we kind of do some downtime, and we just kind of all will sit on the couch and we'll watch Sesame Street or something, and, you know, Storybots, if you haven't checked that out, that's a great show. And we'll talk about it. What color is that one? And we'll teach colors from it. And we'll do that interaction while we're watching it. You know what I mean? So it's, yes, they're getting the story and they're getting it from there, but we're also trying to interact so they can see it. So I think that's the balance I'm talking about. And my wife is really, really good at that. That's not me doing it. That's her teaching me how to do it. But I think that's kind of my philosophy too at work. When I've always held that philosophy of that, you know, if we're human interacting here right now, please give me that respect, because I won't do that to you. But then when I'm out of here, I mean, okay, if you need to use it for something, go for it. You know, that's the world we live in, I think.
Well, and it's brand. So, we forget that it's brand. You know, these things didn't even exist 10 years ago. So it's like we are kind of learning as right. we go, also. So I think
right,
giving yourself a break on one hand, and you know, being willing to, you know, learn and improve. It's not going to be, you can have this or you can't. It's like, how can we do this a little bit more mindfully? Like you said, I like that.
Right.
How can we merge right. it?
Yeah. Yeah. Make it a hybrid.
Useful, meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's not, you know, detrimental.
And you know, before we close out this episode, we always have our final segment of every show is the things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes, or things we can't wait to, or with things we have seen through our children's eyes now that we couldn't wait to see. It can really be anything. It can be from travel to a hobby to movies to seeing them graduate high school, whatever it may be. What is the things that you can't wait to see, or, you know, participate together with your children or see through their eyes?
Well, it's such a good question. I was talking to Angie about this just the other day, and it's really cool to see your kids' different personalities start to form. You know, you think they're all the same, they came from the same place, but you know, this one's interested in this sport, and this one's not so interested in, you know, soccer. So really, just like seeing them find their way, and also like just seeing them be good people, and really like watching them interact with their friends. That's one of my favorite things to do, is almost like, you know, not be seen and like listen to their conversations when they don't see you. And it's awesome. So I'm excited to just kind of, you know, watch them become good people and hopefully, you know, be supportive in whatever they want to do and learn. You know, I watched like my 6-year old playing soccer. I'm not sure that that's going to be his sport, but it was like nice to see him try through the whole game. And I had to learn about myself as to like how to, you know, don't just say, oh, we don't have to play this, let's quit. Let's try and play through the game, be a part of your team. So that it's exciting just to see them grow up and, you know, carve out their own personalities.
Nice.
But selfishly, I am also excited to take them to like things that I didn't get to do as a kid, like a WrestleMania or something. Like I see my kids are into wrestling, but you know, I used to watch back in your area, the Pontiac Silverdome, some Iron Peak days. Like I think that would be so fun to.
You know, talking about wrestling, it's funny that we went here, but I went this past April, right before my second daughter was born. I went. They're touring right now with Legends of Wrestling.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard this, but man, I saw. Now they didn't wrestle. I was a little disappointed because they didn't bill it this way, but it's all right. So like Ted DiBiase was there, the Brooklyn Brawler was there, Ric Flair hobbled into the ring there. Oh, that was an interesting one to see. I mean, to see these guys just from our youth that were just like top. You know, even though it was really brought out in the 80s that it was fake. I mean, they were in top shape out of like most people. Like I would put them right under those, you know, MMA fighters now. Like I don't think they're exactly there, but I mean, those dudes had to be choreographed and in shape. So, I mean, you see them in their prime and then now it's interesting to see that transition for those guys. But that would be a cool thing to experience with the kids.
I mean, there was nothing more fun than being like 12 years old and Saturday night's main event coming on. So I'm excited when they get older to kind of like, yeah, I'm into that. Let's go.
And those are hard to find now. Nice. Like I tried to look some of those old ones up. Like I wanted to watch some of the old stuff and I don't know. I think they have like, do they have their own like kind of archive now? I think the WWE probably does, where you can get a lot of the old stuff because you try and find it on YouTube and stuff. It's hard, but I think that's kind of where everything's going. But no, those are all cool things. And I think, you know, it sounds like you got a happy family there and we wish you all the best of luck with Kickstart Reading and all the great things that go along with being a dad. But before we let you go, will you tell them again how to find you, all the social media and all about the Kickstart Reading one more time, so our listeners have all that. We'll put it in the show notes too, but let them
awesome.
Know.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Cool. So it's kickstartreading.com. We're on Instagram at Kickstart Reading, Facebook. And like I said, your listeners, if they want to give it a try, if you enter code DADEXPERIENCE, we'll give you first month free and cancel if you're not into it. But I definitely suggest that everybody give it a try. If you've got like, we say 3 to 6 year old, but probably like closer to 4 to 6 or 7 years old. And, you know, it's a great way to bond with your kid over something educational. So I appreciate you guys having me on here. This has been awesome.
Thanks for coming on, man.
No problem. Thank you for being here. And did you, I might have missed it when you said, I know you said it earlier. Can you tell them the Instagram or your social media too?
Yeah, it's so it's all through the company. I'm still learning the whole social media world. So it's Kickstart Reading on Instagram and Facebook. So that's been my I'm now, it's my first foray into social. It's an interesting world. I have to learn the balance there too, because it's great. It's relentless, that social media, huh?
It is. And I feel you. It's tough to do, especially on online based, you know, businesses. You got to go there. And that's one of the reasons why I think we have to find those balances with the technology, because I think that's where business is going to be done.
Yeah.
I think, you know, gone are the 9-to-5 office for a corner office, you know, overlooking the city. It's going to be overlooking your green and white basement, or maybe a blue and gold basement, or maybe what are the Gators? Orange?
And
no,
orange and blue. Yeah.
Orange. So I think that's where you're going to be, is where you're going to be doing those things. And so we got to embrace those things.
Yeah,
but thanks again, Rob, for sharing.
Thanks, Rob.
And I mean, you've got quite the story and really interesting. And I know our listeners are going to benefit so much from just hearing about your life experiences and your dad experiences. So thanks for being here.
Oh, thank Mike and Adam. I appreciate it. You guys are doing, and podcasts are like my favorite thing. So I think I'm always encouraging my friends to try new ones. And definitely this one is moving up to the top of the list.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Mike, thank you again for joining us. It's always fun to have you on. It's always great to hear your side of the story too. So thanks again for being here, Mike.
Hey, no problem, man.
No problem. So again, don't forget to check out all of Rob's stuff. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes, but also continue to check out the Dad Experience, subscribe, rate, like, and review. You know, those things really help us get found and find other dads. And, you know, we get our ideas and we keep the show going from the dads that listen. So if you want to be on the show, have a show idea, or have a question for one of our guests, we have a phone number that you can call and leave a voicemail. We can feature it. Or you can email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. The phone number will be in the show notes. Follow us on Instagram, The Dad Experience, Facebook, The Dad Experience Podcast, at Twitter, at Dad EXP Podcast, and all those places you can get in touch with us, and we like to respond and interact. So that's how this the wheels keep turning on The Dad Experience. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll catch you next time on The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.